Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, and streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, X Spaces, and YouTube. Also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations, including Radio Justice Tamale, Lolonyo FM Hohoi, Inkligi FM Boli, Castle FM Cape Coast, Oil City Radio Takrady Ganga FM Jirapa, and Radio Freed in Nandam. This afternoon, the minority in Parliament doubled down on its onslaught against the gold board, insisting the board made colossal losses and has dressed it up in accounting gimmicks to pass off as profit.
What we are witnessing is a disingenuous accounting arrangement, clean on the surface, dirty in substance, and it is ordinary Ghanaian taxpayer who is left carrying the risk. That ends today. We are asking straightforward questions.
We have details from the minority leaders' news conference in Parliament, saying the Bank of Ghana has become technically insolvent because of Gold Board's operations.
At the end of last year, negative 6.7% of GDP. Our central bank is technically bankrupt, therefore. And the single biggest driver of that collapse in the 2025 was gold operations, Gold Board.
Also this afternoon, Attorney General rules out immediate termination of controversial AXA deal for fear of possible judgment debt, insisting investigations must first conclude over the matter.
You cannot just cancel a contract because someone has been convicted as for paying bribe. You need to do further diligence to be able to come to that conclusion. And I believe that will be done once the investigations are concluded and the facts are well established.
We have details from the Deputy Attorney General, Justice Shrimpsai, revealing heightened threats to him and witnesses following the sentencing of Chairman Wontumi.
And some threaten violence, death, and all manner of things. Some try to even carry them out, you know. But it's not everything that we...
So have you received threats on your life?
Of course.
When were they? Were they killing you?
Also coming up...
Who's that?
Ghana Water Limited stirs controversy as it claims it does not hold official water turbidity data after several senior officers rejected Joy News' request in sports.
Asante Kotoko expressed optimism about conquering Ghana football under South African coach Eric Tinkler.
Also, 80 more Ghanaians evacuated from South Africa arrive in Ghana on Monday. As Foreign Minister says, more than 1,600 Ghanaians have so far been repatriated.
As South Africans, we are deeply concerned and ashamed that people from other nations, some whose leaders are here, were treated badly and were even forced to leave their country.
We're live in South Africa, where President Cyril Ramaphosa says the country is deeply ashamed of the treatment of fellow Africans, which has forced them to flee. Also, the dream of owning a home can soon become a reality, as the Republic Bank Joy News Habitat Fair promises a hassle-free path to home ownership.
Republic Bank financing housing, as you all know, is not a side business. It is part of our gene.
We'll tell you more about the upcoming mini fair clinic coming off this weekend. These and more with me, Mami Sinyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. Please stay with us. Thanks for staying. This afternoon, we start from Parliament, where the minority is continuing its onslaught against the Ghana Gold Board, doubling down on claims that Gold Board has made significant losses in its trading activities. Over the past few weeks, the minority leader, Alexander Fayomarking, and Gold Board CEO, Sammy Jemfi, traded words over the company's operations and whether it has made losses or not. Speaking to journalists in Parliament, the minority leader insisted that Gold Board made losses and is hiding behind accounting gimmicks to claim profit.
What we are witnessing is a disingenuous accounting arrangement, clean on the surface, dirty in substance, and it is ordinary Ghanaian taxpayer who is left carrying the risk. That ends today. We are asking straightforward questions and we expect straightforward answers. Who are the off-takers? Why were sales discounted? And why is the mandate to trade gold on the country's behalf producing losses the country was never told about? Now, let me deal with the numbers Ghana cannot ignore. The IMF tells us that 17% of the value of every ounce of gold sold by the Bank of Ghana simply disappeared. It vanished into the gap between the rate paid to miners and the rate used for the books. Add the fees paid to the middlemen. Add the discounts handed to off-takers. This is not rounding error. This is not teething trouble. This is a structural bleeding of our national purse. And it was not the opposition that found it. I repeat, it was the IMF's own economists. And the government has accepted that indeed these losses are true.
Well, according to the minority leader, Gold Board's activities have left the central bank technically insolvent.
The Bank of Ghana's equity stood at negative 93.8 billion cedis at the end of last year, negative 6.7% of GDP. Our central bank is technically bankrupt, therefore, and the single biggest driver of that collapse in the 2025 was gold operations, Gold Board. Gold Board's own domain, 22 billion cedis. That's equivalent of the $1.7 billion. In 1 year alone. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, let's call it what it is. These losses are not bad luck. You don't trade in gold and make losses. They are not a difficult market. They expose the crass incompetence of Gold Board's management and misaligned policy of the government. No serious institution loses this much money by accident. This is what happens when an untouchable few are handed the nation's gold with no one watching and no one willing to ask questions. Ghanaians have already sacrificed much to keep this economy standing. We tighten our belt for the sake of stability. That is why it is so painful to watch this scheme quietly give away sums that will make any right-thinking citizens weep.
We had the minority leader Alexander Fayumakin in Parliament moments ago. We'll touch base with Parliamentary Affairs correspondent Kwekwa Sante. But now, Joy News editor Fred Smith joins me with more on this. Fred, has Gold Board responded to these allegations?
Well, the news conference ended not too long ago, and so we've not been able to establish contact with them for the comments. But What we know is that the presidency has scheduled him to take a stand at the accountability series tomorrow, where we expect that he will share all those details in response to what the minority leader has said at the news conference.
Right. We'll still try and get in touch with our parliamentary correspondent, Kwekwa Sante. But, I mean, let's hear more from the minority leader. And he's been saying that accusing Gold Board of taking credit for the positives in the economy while running away from the negative side of its operations.
If every one of those service fees and asset fees were collected and kept, why should the losses that came bundled with earning them belong to someone else? You do not get to keep the fees and disown the costs. This is not accounting. That is convenience. And who exactly are these off-takers Gold Board sold discounted gold to? The country deserves an answer. Gold Board is happy to take credit for the foreign exchange it claims to have generated, but it goes quiet the moment we ask about the very trade, the discounted sales, the fee arrangement that produced that forex in the first place. You cannot claim the upside of a trade and disown its downside. And let us also be honest about where the real conversation lies. We, the minority, are not here to relegate the profit of Gold Board, the profit Gold Board has published it in its own account. We are here because what happened off the books, the operations, the free fee structures, the discounted sales that made that profit possible in the first place. Substance must always be judged over form.
And here the minority leader, Alexander Fayumakin. Now, the Attorney General has ruled out an immediate termination of the controversial AXA deal. His comment comes after calls from the minority and civil society organization for an immediate review and possible termination of the contract following the conviction of Asante Beko in the $1 million bribery scandal. Speaking to Evans Mensah on PM Express last night, Deputy Attorney General Justice Srimsai says terminating the deal without full investigation to establish any breach could lead to judgment debts.
I understand that concern, and I appreciate that they believe that it should be cancelled. But law doesn't work that way. You can take a decision which will become judgment debt issue. So what we will do is to review the entire agreement and see to what extent it could be vitiated by what happened.
Mm. We have not decided. But if it's procured through fraud, then it vitiates the entire contract.
That is the point. But you need to establish that this is what happened, you know, and bribery is not necessarily fraud, you know, that at least from the eyes of the law, there's a different meaning when you say bribery and there's fraud. These are two different legal concepts. But I understand that, yes, they want it to be cancelled, but I also want to let them understand that from a lawyer's perspective, you cannot just cancel a contract because someone has been convicted as what, paying bribe. You need to do further diligence to be able to come to that conclusion. And I believe that will be done once the investigations are concluded and the facts are well established. We will advise the government.
There's a local leg of investigations and the process that they use.
Well, the Attorney General, a Deputy Attorney General, addressed a number of ongoing cases, including the 30 million CD Exim Bank trial involving Chairman Wontumi. According to Justice Shremsai, government has taken a decision to continue with the trial as a second round of plea negotiation has also failed.
We regrouped again to negotiate further, but I can announce that we've not made much progress because what we think is sufficient, the other side said either they don't have it or so
it's 30 million. How much are you asking them to pay?
That would be the details of the negotiation, which is without prejudice and it's also covered by confidentiality, you know. So we have decided that we'll proceed with the case. So once the legal vacation is over, we will proceed with the trial. The law allows us to still have that conversation alongside the trial. So even though I would say we are still negotiating, we think that we have reached a point where we would have to proceed. If along the way we arrive at a fair conclusion or decision or plea deal, it's just a matter of informing the courts and then it ends. Mm. Otherwise, we don't want to spend time talking about this while precisely.
But what you said is very clear that you know what you want.
Yes.
From the plea bargain.
Yeah.
You put it before them.
Yeah.
And their counter offer doesn't meet it.
Doesn't meet it at all.
At all.
Yeah, significantly below what we are expecting. So we will proceed.
Well, the Deputy Attorney General also adds that the fallout from Chairman Wontumi's conviction has resulted in threats on his life and others who played a role in the trial.
And some threatened violence, death, and all manner of things. Some tried to even carry them out, you know. But it's not everything that we...
So have you received threats on your life?
Of course, I mean...
Has it gone up or reduced since Wontumi's conviction?
It's actually gone up. Our witnesses are every day threatening people.
The two of them?
Yeah.
The two...
Yeah.
Star witnesses for you.
And even the police investigators who testified and all, they threaten everybody.
I see.
So but I think it comes with a job.
How serious do you take those threats?
I take each of them very seriously.
What were they? Were they to kill you?
It includes that.
Were they sent to your phone or text messages or somebody told you?
It comes in various forms. Various forms.
How do you stay safe? I mean, especially as you made the point on the back of the conviction, you've seen an increase in the threats. How do you stay safe?
God is the protector of man, and I believe God protects me as well. You know, of course, because, I mean, no matter what you do, the state cannot commit a certain level of security to you. So for my own peace of mind and everything, I discount the physical one, even though yes, it's good. And just so I can sleep, I commit myself to...
In the hands of the Lord.
Yes.
This afternoon, lawyer for former Chief Executive Officer of the National Petroleum Authority, Mustafa Abdul Hamid Joseph Femka, has described as erroneous comments by Deputy Attorney General Justice Shremsai that the Constitution allows for the speedy trial of cases. He argues that the Constitution does not permit the expedited trial of selected cases, but rather requires the speedy determination of every case before the courts. Speaking to Joy News at the Accra High Court, the former Deputy Attorney General and said Justice Shremsai's comments on PM Express have vindicated their position that there is selective justice. Well, we'll get those sounds later on that. He also said that although he does not want to prejudice the injunction application filed by Ofwansa Yobi MP, Kojo Ponkrumah, before the Supreme Court challenging the continuation of trials during the legal vacation, he is convinced that the court will grant the reliefs being sought. Meanwhile, the Accra High Court has adjourned proceedings in the high-profile case involving former Chief Executive Officer of the National Petroleum Authority, Mustafa Abdul Hamid, and seven others to August 27, following an injunction application filed by Ofwansa Yobi MP Kojo Oponkrumah, challenging the directive issued by the Chief Justice for selected courts to continue trials during the legal vacation. The NPA case becomes the latest to be halted by the injunction application after proceedings in the Buffer Stock and National Signals Bureau cases were also stayed yesterday. Legal Affairs Correspondent Fatal Bayaga joins me live with the latest on this. Fatal, how did proceedings go?
Mameso, lawyer for the former MPA boss, Joseph Kremka, walked into the courtroom just a few minutes time. Then I also saw the OSP led by Principal State Attorney Adelaide Cobrey-Wood also walk into the courtroom. Just when they thought that the court will call the case, then one of the clerks walked into the courtroom and announced to them that the trial judge, Francis Panga Chibonga, has ordered that the court be adjourned to the 27th of August because of his previous ruling yesterday, which arrested two cases. So basically, he said that until the determination of the injunction application filed by Kojo Oponkrumah, the cases would have to stay at the moment. And that was exactly the reason he stayed his hands on this particular case until that injunction application is determined on Thursday.
Thank you very much, Fatal Bayaga. Away from the courts, Ghana Water Limited has stirred controversy this afternoon after claiming in a statement that it does not hold official turbidity data on river bodies. The claim was contained in a statement signed by the MD after several senior officers declined requests from Joy News for the data, citing concerns about victimization. Joy News senior editor and host of PM Express, Evans Mensah, interacted with the senior Ghana Water Limited officers and joined me on the line with more. Evans, the statement refers directly to your disclosure on PM Express relating to the inability of senior staff to share latest water turbidity data with you due to victimization concerns. Did these officers disclose who exactly they fear may victimize them?
Not exactly. They were not clear who exactly, but they were very emphatic with me that they would be victimized. In fact, one of them had been victimized before. He told me this himself. And because of that, they were sorry they could not share the data. Now, one of the WhatsApp messages I received from a senior Ghana Water Limited official read, quote, "I have been personally told to stay away from talking about Galamsey. If I ask for this figure, it may bring me a problem later." So they were very, very clear that you cannot receive this and it definitely can't come for me and I can't give it to you. In that statement that was issued by the Ghana Water Company, they claim in there that I had said on PM Express that the presidency had directed that the officers at Ghana Water Company should not share turbidity data. That is factually inaccurate. It is fictitious. Because that's not what I said. What I said is exactly what I had quoted, which is that when we checked with the officers, and they had been very open with us last year in sharing that data. This time we checked, they were very frank with us. And what I said on the show was, we can no longer give you the data because we have been told not to, which is exactly what happened.
All right. And much of the statement was devoted to denying responsibility for recording and holding that data. What does the evidence say?
Well, the evidence is overwhelming when it comes to the subject of whether or not Ghana Water Limited records and holds turbidity data. The evidence points to one clear outcome, that they indeed do. And you see that in the statement, three of the 5 points were all devoted to one issue, which is to simply deny that they hold the turbidity data, which I found very strange. Why do I say that? The evidence from last year when we went to Ghana Water Company, when the Kwinyaku Water Treatment Plant, you remember, Mami, was shut down because of high turbidity levels. At the time, it was more than 94,000 NTU.
Yes.
When we went there, the Ghana Water Company officers themselves were very happy to share the data with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in front of me right now is the document, the official record. There's a document that the Ghana Water Limited itself has, on which they record what they call the water quality assurance population test.
Mm-hmm.
And this one I have in front of me is the for the Kwinyaku headworks. And on that data, they are very clear that the source of the test is the Ayensu River. So when you see in the statement by the Ghana Water Company that they do not hold turbidity data relating to river bodies, it's factually inaccurate because this data says they actually do. Mm-hmm. And we actually have a recording that we did, and this was not a secret recording because the officers were freely talking to us and showing us the evidence of the recordings that they hold of the Ayensu River and with the specifically with the Kwinyaku headworks. Listen.
On average, you can see we even get 25 for turbidity, 31, 32.
Which was fine.
Which was fine. That one, the system was working well with it. You can see.
26.
So when it gets to like 65, 60, when you record getting to 100, then you start
panicking.
Yes, like, oh, what is going on? Maximumly, you can see the 50, 60.
Apparently, what is happening?
You can see raw water. We recorded 8. At times, you could get to even 5.
Wow.
For turbidity. And color, you can see 100. Then now we are recording color over 300,000. This is on the 6th of September. Turbidity, they recorded 94,800.
So, Evans, at an official level, has the Ghana Water Limited ever released data to the public as turbidity data?
Oh, yes, of course. And many times they have. This, what you just played, is an example. But at a very official level, in terms of issuing a statement by themselves, on the 30th of August 2024, the Ghana Water Limited issued a statement in which it formally reported the turbidity level of the Pra River, particularly within the catchment from which the Setre Heman Water Treatment Plant abstracts water. It did so following dangerously high turbidity reading of 14,000 NTU at the time, which made it impossible to supply water to several communities in the central region.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
very strange to see in a statement signed by the managing director that they do not hold official data when it comes to turbidity levels, because they themselves have shown in the past that they have issued formal statements communicating to the public the ability levels that they record.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So what direct steps is Joanie's taking to secure the latest data then?
So we are going to file an RTI request to the Ghana Water Company, because as we've shown in that clip you played, and the video is out there, will be on our socials very shortly, they have the data. And in the clip you just played, they have the data. They showed us data as far back as 2016, when turbidity levels were as low as 5 NTU. Now we are talking about turbidity levels of 94,800 as of September of 2025. So we're going to file an RTI request directly to the Ghana Water Limited. We'll also file a separate one to the Water Resources Commission and to the EPA. After all, the Ghana Water Company says they hold official, they monitor and record official data as it relates to water bodies. So we'll send 3 separate requests so that we can understand what's happening with the water bodies since last year.
Thank you so much. And that is Evans Mensah, Senior Editor here at Joy News. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. We return sports. And also, 80 more Ghanaians evacuated from South Africa arrive in Ghana on Monday, with the Foreign Affairs Ministry saying more than 1,600 Ghanaians have been repatriated so far. Now, also, the dream of owning a home can soon become a reality as the Republic Bank Joy News Habitat Fair promises a hassle-free path to home ownership.
Republic Bank, financing housing, as you all know, is not a side business. It is part of our gene.
We'll tell you more about the upcoming mini-fair. Welcome back to the Midday News. Mubarak is here with Sports
Mubarak. Thank you very much, Mamesi. Asante Kotoko Aina returned to the glory days by winning the Ghana Premier League and making a mark in Africa under South African tactician Eric Tinkler. Kotoko have not won the league since 2022, nor have they won a CAF Interclub Trophy since 1983. However, they remain optimistic that the jinx could be broken under their new coach. Here's their director of football, Stanley Menzo.
I knew Eric of my time in Cape Town when I was coach of Ajax Cape Town. He was coach of Cape Town City. And I knew they were struggling with a lot of things. I saw our environment, and I know he also didn't have training. He didn't have training facilities, but he managed to create a team. He managed to perform. He knows Africa because he's traveled with his clubs.
Yes, before I go, Rodri, he has signed his contract as a new Barcelona player until June 2030 from Man City. The deal is worth 60 million euros fixed, plus 11 million euros in add-ons.
In our special feature, Invisible Lives, we meet 13-year-old Emma, who lives beneath the Kwame Nkrumah interchange and begs on the streets with his mother to survive. As he watches children his age head to school, Emma holds on to his dream of becoming a law enforcement officer. Ramad Bashiru tells his story with support from SOS Children's Villages Ghana.
A year ago, Ajuan left Koforidua with her son, Emma, hoping to build a better life in Accra. With no stable income and a decent shelter, the streets became their only refuge. 13-year-old Emma wakes up to torn pieces of cardboard, which served as his bed throughout the night. Beside him is his mother, Ajuan. Together, they sleep beneath the Kwame Nkrumah Circle interchange. Every morning, Emma follows his mother through the busy streets of Circle in search of benevolent individuals to spare him a coin or two. Around him, his age mates walk briskly to school. Emma watches them with admiration. His dream is to become a law enforcement officer. Hilda Mensah is a child protection specialist at UNICEF.
In 2011, the Greater Accra